My first ever performance was Mary the Virgin in my preschool's nativity scene where I held the baby Jesus upside down. My name's Julie, and that's part of my story.
My first onstage performance was as Max the Dog in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I'm Maria, and that's a part of my story. And welcome to Sparks of Madness. Sparks of Madness is a storytelling podcast that illuminates the beauty of our experiences
while capturing those sparks that ignite what it means to be human.
Thinking of that, some might say my first day on stage performance was forcing my brother to dress in clothes with me and our parents' clothes, and then making our family sit and watch us do something dumb.
That's classic sibling stuff. Me and my sisters never really did that. We never put on shows, which is surprising because mm-hmm. we were all in musicals,
right?
Plays or band or whatever growing up, but we never did that for our parents. I think we put them through lots of other trauma though.
Yeah, I probably me and my lover talk about like when we have children, like what that will be. And sometimes like in my dark moments, I'll be like, I'm gonna screw them up. And he'll be like, yeah, of course. Like you know, once they leave you, it's the world. If you're not you, the world. So I sometimes wonder, my mom thought that too, and it's like one of those things, like, do I ask my mom, or when do you bring that up, or will she remember, you know what I mean? Like just silly things like that.
Yeah, I think sometimes, like, you know, we've all been through therapy maybe at this point. Maybe not all of us, but by all of us I mean the world, which is anyway, some of us have been through therapy at this point. And I know, you know, as a typical millennial or as just a human being, you know, you start kind of going over things that happened that were, you know, maybe your parents' fault. Yeah. Or like, maybe not fault, but like, you know, everyone's doing their best, I guess. And so it's like, but you're never going to come out like anything with anybody when you've had a relationship with someone for so many years unscathed. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you'll have bruises and scars and things. And I think it just adds to the collective of who you are.
Right. So,
I mean, I think it's your job as a parent to like, there's no way to be a perfect parent. There's just no, because you're not a perfect person. There's no such thing.
Yeah. I think those, and that's like with my anxiety sometimes is like what I can control, I try to, but you don't want to necessarily control your kid because it's a human and you know, they want to do their thing, but yeah, you still want to be good and just like a good human too. Like, examining parts of like one thing I've gone through therapy is like, okay, what other places can I be a good person in and a good, like a friend, a daughter, a partner, you know, stuff like that, because we want to make sure that I'm like, when we have interactions with people, we leave it better than when we started, kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
which can be very hard, especially in times like this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's all about, you know, intention.
Mm-hmm.
And accountability for oneself. Like, I think everybody, and I've come to realize this is not a new realization, but like I've reminded myself recently of how great my fear of failure is, and not even failure, mm-hmm. but just like letting people down or not wanting to be the person held responsible for stuff, because ultimately if you drop the ball, it's on you. So I feel like there has to be room for that failure, like even right. when you are a parent,
mm-hmm.
and just like hope that you're doing your best to like, once you fail, to pick yourself up or like put a Band-Aid on or let yourself heal or whatever that is, to like make the overall effect not a bad one.
Yeah, because you don't want to, I don't know, like I feel like sometimes even like when you, if I've been to a lot of funerals, like that's not a flex, it just happened to be. And some of the ones I've gone to a lot were like, so-and-so gave up a lot to like do this, or so-and-so did so much. And like, which is great. I just, you know, if they gave up so much, do you want to continue that cycle of like, or is it like, yeah, I gave up stuff, but also I like lived a full life, you know, kind of thing. Man, this went on a thinking type of road. But I think ultimately,
yeah, I think this kind of conversation, even though it was not intentional to be so pensive and deep, really leads well into our overall topic for this podcast episode with our dear friend Rents.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the podcast and us in real life.
Absolutely. Because Rents will obviously sum it all up, but there's just so much to think about and so much to reflect on and so much that allows us to grow into the people we're supposed to be, and like, and whatever that is, hopefully it's, you know, the perfect version of what you think you're supposed to be. I don't think that's right. But I think, you know, ultimately, like if you're taking those steps to be a good person, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to be doing the right thing regardless, because the intention there is there, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So
I love it. You did a so good job.
I could talk about this sort of crap all day. But I think it's about time we add Rents into the conversation. So without further ado, here's our dear friend, Rents.
Hey, I will do my own applause. Yay. I'm my biggest fan. I'll follow me if I want me, paparazzi. No. Well, hey, you guys. Hey, both of you. I love you both so much. Julie, Maria, thank you so much for having me on the pod. So hi, my name is Rents. My full name is Lawrence. Coming in today to tell a little story, in the last couple of years, really starting with the pandemic, and I think a lot of people are having the same experience, I had an entire spiritual awakening from the beginning to up until now, as the pandemic started. And really, it started my whole life. And really, the couple of years leading up to the pandemic, there was something in the architecture of my energy and also of the life around me that was like, something was not working. Like something was still operating from fear. You know, we grow up with a lot of different traumas about the fear over our own minds, our own bodies, our identities, how we relate to one another, how we view the world. And when we're operating from that fear then gets coded into the life that you're building around you. And a couple years leading up to the pandemic, I can feel those structures coming down. Old ways of thinking, old ways of feeling, old ways of defense mechanisms, overthinking, stuff like that. And then right before the pandemic started, a switch started to happen. Just to kind of screw the pooch on the reveal here, my third eye started opening like at the end of 2019, but really when the pandemic was starting in the spring of like somewhere between March and May 2020, I moved into a new apartment. And was happy about this apartment. It was my apartment previously wouldn't allow me to hang a lot of stuff up, like on the walls. And I'm not a decorating kind of bitch. People think I am because I'm like, I'm a fat gay little clown. You know what I mean? But I'm actually Capricorn. We're very minimal, except if the decoration's functional, then I want to hang up freaking everything. So I was hanging up all my jackets, all my costumes, all my props. And it was like I was designing it to be like a Batman's like cave layer of like gay shit. So as I was color coding all of my different costume pieces, I was looking at the structure of how every single color, you know, red, orange, yellow, green, I was building up these different rainbows and stuff. I was like, there's a structure and a organization to color, and how when light is white and it diffracts, there's like an even amount of color, but all of those colors combine into a particular configuration that creates one light. And I was like, there's an arithmetic to this. And that was me. And I immediately was like, and weird, because music's like that too. When light diffracts, it creates seven colors, or is that right? Or eight? God, watch, I get the number wrong. Do not, okay, fact check. We need fact checkers. There's seven or eight colors in the rainbow, but also Pluto's not a planet anymore. So planets do, are things, so who knows? There's ostensibly seven or eight colors. There's also the same amount of notes in a staff of music. And I'm like, it's weird that everything is structured that way. And it started making me think that I was like, our spirit as an energy is also light. It's a light source that when you diffract it into the 7 billion bodies we're in, they're uniquely different colors from that same color spectrum. But when you undiffract it, it's one light. You know what I mean? So these messages of like just understanding that we are all one, not just in like some corny fun like DCOM way, which also let me not shade that. There's going to be a great DCOM movie one day about oneness, and let's just put that in the universe. But I was realizing that I was like, oh my God, like, yes, we have our minds and we have our bodies, but there's something else going on. I did not grow up with religion or spirituality really in any way. I'm quite open-minded. I know that I don't know anything. So I'm open to everything. But I was realizing that I'm like, the way that our mind is having these constant synaptic connections, there's electricity constantly pinging, pinging. And then our heart's constantly vibrating to an electrical pulse. I was like, there's a photonic electrical energy source that is running through our mind and our body that we can't exactly point to of where it's coming from or why. The best we have right now, I feel, with like the way that we understand science to be, is we can observe phenomena and like impacts that phenomena has, but I feel, again, I'm not a scientist, so alleged, but I don't know that we understand where that energy comes from or what it actually is and what it's doing. That all started with me understanding that our spirit is literally not just like, when we hear spirit, we think like magic and movies and wonder. Well, and it's everything, but spirit, literally, it is a science, and it's an arithmetic, and it's an art, and it is like, it's not air, it's not nothing, it's like our thoughts. That was starting to percolate in my mind. Then, okay, now we're going to cut really quick. So that's happening end of 2019. As I'm opening up to like this idea of this oneness and how we're all one with each other. Then we cut to when all the different George Floyd protests started. What was that? May of 2020, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Up between then, I was thinking about that a lot. It was constantly in my head. And then at those protests, I got high. Okay, great. Okay. So shout out to all the girls. I got very high, and I was like, bitch, we're gonna serve some justice. We're gonna go out into the streets. We're gonna like say our claim. We're getting out there. And I went alone because I'm just Capricorn that way. I got high and then went alone to these protests. Why, you know what I mean? And it was crazy, you know what I mean? The police were getting very forceful, that people were running, things were getting thrown, it was crazy. And there was a moment, and I have a photo of it too. I took a photo of this. I was walking on one of the bridges. You know, there's those two bridges downtown, mm-hmm, that cross by the Trump Tower. We were all on one bridge, and the second bridge all the way over there was starting to come up, mm-hmm, which means that they're closing the bridges downtown. So if you get down there, you're like ostensibly kind of trapped because they want the curfew. They don't want people out there. You know what I mean? How does a state that's built on levels of control maintain their populace being out of control? So then they have to execute whatever levers they have to force control again. So I'm walking on the bridge. At the same moment, everyone turned left and looked at the bridge at the same way. And so I'm just gonna express it to you as I now know, but at the time I didn't know what was happening. The exact moment where everyone on the bridge looked left at the bridge with the same feeling of fear, an entire download happened for me. I literally, like, almost like an entire energetic download just like beamed right through my body. And I was like, oh my God. And I saw everyone literally as their spirit all being one, but also in terms of like, when we're doing this work, when we talk about figures like a Jesus Christ or like an MLK or these people, you know what I mean? These people that have come to this earth and have just done so much incredible work trying to create a more like love-filled, light-filled world. They get historicized as like these figures that are like kind of beyond us, because the same state that also wants to like vilify these people and make sure that they don't get their work done, but then also turns them into holidays. They make these people to be something that it is that we're not. In that moment, the full download I got was literally that every single person on this bridge is no different than Jesus. Mm-hmm. I was like, every single person on this bridge, what? And again, I'm not religious, so I'm sorry to all of my Christian brothers and sisters and twisters out there, because I mean, no disrespect. I'm being very liberal with how I'm trafficking in these constructs, but no, that's not out of disrespect. It's out of love. Okay, but y'all, so because I now I'm like, no, I know God is real. I know Jesus walked this earth. Okay. But the thing is, like, Jesus was literally, I believe his mission when he came here, part of it was teaching us how we are all one. We're also all the same children. If you want to call it God, you can call it any word you want, but there is a infinite love-filled, light-filled source that is what everything is. These bodies are temporary vessels that we're in. The part about everyone being no different than Jesus, what I'm saying is there was an awakening that a Jesus had in that lifetime that he had also for his own spiritual learnings, but also for his ability to show people that like you are far greater than the body that we are allowing the system to imprison us as, where it's like, you are limited to the confines of the body and how we allow you to have what kinds of money and what access to food and what access to education, that like, we feel like, well, then we're limited, but it's like, we're not limited to the body. There's literally an infinite amount of resources and energy and knowledge and opportunity. And this is what I'm going to get into explaining now, what I've learned since then, because I'm going to really quick track through what the year after that was real quick. So I'm coming into all these downloads of like oneness happening, and I'm seeing oneness everywhere. What started happening was slowly, I would be like reading. I've started trying to read. I'm a bad reader, ADHD, you know what I mean? But also I don't claim that energy. I'm a good reader. Let me just start saying that. when I would be reading something and it felt just so right, my body would start rocking like forward and backward, almost like a very soft, gentle metronome. Without my control, I was like, oh, this is very beautiful and wonderful. I wonder what this is. And then eventually I started getting different activations in my own head. So it's like, you hear the phrase third eye, and I'm like, I kind of have a vague idea what that means. Your third eye is, again, alleged. This is just my beliefs, allegedly. Okay. Your third eye is a real thing. So your third eye is a real physical part of your brain. It's your pineal gland, but it's far beyond even just the acorn-shaped gland of your brain. It also is like an access point where your spiritual energy, that is also its own body, is taking on a physical form and is able to help your mind and body function with all its different processes. When you go to bed, that's what you're plugging into at night. How is it that you're recharging? You're plugging back into that spiritual field that is literally the oneness of everything that is. Once the metronome thing was starting to happening, there was vibration starting in the center of my head that went full from the center of my head into the front of my head. And like whole things would be vibrating in my head. And as that would be happening, I would be getting full downloads of information about how spirit is, how it works, what this mind is, what this body is, what this, I don't want to call it a video game because whatever, but what this physical incarnation is about and how it is truly serving us. And then as that was happening, I would just be meditating a lot, sitting on it. And I did not have a lot of answers for a long time. So it'd be many months at a time. What started happening was once that door kind of opened, a lot of different things started changing. I would start having intuitive knowings of like, you know what? I kind of feel like I don't want to eat this anymore. I have a feeling like I don't want to, like, one of the things was I kept for months was getting this claircognitive knowing of like not wanting to eat meat. I was like, I don't want to eat meat, but I also love meat. And I'm also allergic to so many things. I don't want to cut out meat, but I kept getting this push, you know? And then I kept getting this pull. The same day I called my mom and I was like, hey mom, I keep getting this feeling like I want to stop eating meat, but I just bought some meat and I don't really know if I want to make that jump yet. And then, so we talked about it. And then like a second later, I had a call from a friend who needed me to check in on someone that was going through something. So I quickly got in a Lyft. I got in the car. And what does this Lyft driver start getting in a lecture with me about? But about meat and the meat industry. And he goes, you really gotta do whatever meat and the way that these animals, instead of whatever. And then also just the quality of the meat. He went into this whole thing. And I was like, at that point, it had been like 3 or 4 months of me like knowing that I maybe needed to want to not eat meat anymore. And then I was like, fucking fine. I was like, fine. Like the universe, I was like, you know what? Fucking fine. I was like, the universe has made this very clear. I've been getting note after note feeling about eating meat. Now I'm getting Lyft drivers being presented to me. Fine. And I accepted that cue. I was like, good. But because he also, like, my family is like, I'm first generation Jordanian. He is, I don't know where he's from, but he immigrated here. So what I love about that old school mentality is I was like, okay, done deal. I'm going to stop eating meat, but I got to ask you this. Can I eat what I just bought? Because I already wasted the money. Like I'm not buku rich over here. And he was like, finish it up. And I was like, great. Why that part of the story is important is when you are having these innate feelings of wanting to do something and the universe starts presenting you a quantum physical version of the thing that you're already kind of knowing, when you accept the message and you agree to it, you start getting more. So then literally I would be sitting down meditating. I'd be like, you know what? This literally happens to me now a lot. I literally sat down and I was like, you know, I would really love I would love to get like a quick temporary little job. I would love a little more money this month to pay some rent. I like something, just a short-term other job opportunity to make some extra cash. I also really got to get back in the gym. This is when my health was just at its supreme worst. This is like early pandemic. Within literally that 40 minutes, I'm meditating. I get a phone call and I was like, hello. And they're like, hi, like we're da-da-da calling from this consulting company. We're looking for some people to like work on just these COVID relief grants. Just for like the next month or two, And we just happened to come across your resume and we were wondering if you might be interested. And I was like, at this point, I've already gotten enough downloads that I know what's happening. And I'm like, yes, would love to get great vibe. Boom, put the phone down. A second later, I get the phone call rings again. I'm thinking it's the same moment. I'm like, hello. They're like, hey, it's Todd from Export. We're trying to get people back in the gym. Not Todd, I made up the name. We're trying to get people back in the gym. So we're just offering free training sessions. Because, you know, people are afraid to go back in the gym because of germs. So we're offering free training sessions in private rooms. Would you like to have a couple? And I was like, yes. Yeah. And they're like, how's tomorrow? And I'm like, great. So I'm like, once you start tuning into and valuing your intuition and what it's communicating to you, and you see it reflected in the world around you and you accept it, everything else starts coming in more and more to the point that you can't deny that there is a different quantum structure happening that isn't just random. Mm-hmm. Like, and these go to the other downloads I was having. Everything in your life that is projected in your reality, it is a reflection of something going on with the state of your mind. And it's there to serve you, even when someone's triggering you, even when someone's scaring you, or they're putting you in what you perceive to be a dangerous situation, or they're challenging you, or it's there to catalyze your growth. It's presenting you the springboard by which you can approach a situation differently. And so it's step by step, but as you are, at least the first step for me was like being aware that this shit is even fucking a thing, like that this is even a thing, and then just spending time with it, and then seeing those moments and like taking the opportunities when they're coming up, like, okay, so I'm going to try not eating meat. I'm going to get back in the gym. I'm going to take this job. And then as you start accepting, the universe starts bringing you more and more and more. And then as that's happening, the activations start getting bigger and bigger. So now it's like, I get full vibrations throughout my head, around my brow, like throughout like my entire skull, the back of my head. That all sounds really weird, but it's really dope. Oh, no, okay, so no, just kidding. It sounds totally cool and really, really great. But what's happening is those are real parts of your mind that you can access that help you connect to what it is you truly are. You are not just the mind and the body. This is one of, again, my beliefs, alleged, but you have had thousands and thousands of different lives. Mm-hmm. And even if we agree, if we can think about what it might be like if things are not about time and space, you are having concurrent lives right now. Just again, that goes above my head. Time, space, dimension, I don't know all that stuff. But the only reason I know this stuff is real is because I'm slowly every single day over the last 2 years, I'm tuning into it more and more and more and more. And the results it's having on my life has truly, it saved my life. It saved my fucking life. I lost 120 pounds and like, I was gaining a lot of weight for my whole life. But like really in those last 3 years leading up to the pandemic, like the more I was operating from fear, it was just getting more and more. And then toward getting into the pandemic, I was gaining a lot of weight pretty quickly. And so, but also I'm like, I'm not someone that thinks too hard about that. Cause also I'm very with the flow. I'm very accepting of the things, you know what I mean? Like and then it's like, as you're following each little grain of light along this path, it's like without thinking about it, without trying, I'm not like, I'm going to lose weight. No. I'm just following the light, which sounds so, as we said, cool. It sounds so great. It's helped me as I'm releasing the different fears of like, how does I operate given all of the different forms of violence I've experienced in my life as a young child, like so many different forms of physical, mental, emotional violence. You walk through the world with that fear. Your nervous system is an electrical photonic instrument. It's calculating electricity all day, all the live long day, all through your sleep. Your thoughts, your memories, they imprint codes of electrical data in your nervous system that are operating out of fear. There's a reason why we're afraid to speak up, because our ego knows that some person's going to react to it in this way, or they're going to, you know, not work with me in this way, or they're going to retaliate in this way. And so we're afraid of all of those potentialities. We trained ourselves to be afraid. But the thing is that it puts blocks on that nervous system. So your spiritual energy is not like flowing through like a beautiful faucet. It's going current, 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 current. But as you start opening up to this instrument being a thing, you even recognize that spirit's even there. You start getting little leads on how it's working. But then as I never meditated, and I have ADHD. I have a hard time meditating. It's fucking hard. I've not been able to meditate well in the last month, but we still try. And as as I'm doing that more and more and more, you're releasing those fears. And then the quantum structure is presenting you opportunities to engage differently. So, you know, I am going to speak up this time. I actually am going to say the thing that I'm thinking and feeling. I actually am going to express like my femininity in a certain way that in certain situations, I don't want to trigger people who are like offended by that. You know what I mean? Like those little things, but you start expressing yourself more and more. And what you're doing on a quantum level is you're telling your frequency, the frequency that is Maria, the sequence of all the frequencies that is Julie. You're saying, I value this energy. I value it. So I'm going to express it into the world. And those fears that were creating blocks in your circuitry, they start releasing. And that's when you start losing the weight. We think that weight is going to be lost because, you know, we're going to diet and exercise. The weight is not gain. The cause of the weight gain is not eating and exercising. It's the weight gain is the result of the cause. It's not the cause itself. The cause is literally, it's all within your internal energetic infrastructure. And once you release all the different fears, your fear is a restricting energy. It holds on to things. But as you're able to start releasing on in a mechanical way, your body can start releasing everything it's holding on to. We hold on to weight because it makes us feel safe in an unconscious way. It's making us feel safe. Mm-hmm. So this process has been a lot of opening up to what the hell spirit is. Also, sorry, using hell with that, whatever. But what spirit is, and also releasing those fears. And as I've been taking each step, different activations have been happening, different vibrations. I'm able to tune into such specific things. I've been able to give readings to people, Lyft drivers, rain. I don't do that with a professional. I'm not ready for that. But little Lyft drivers will be talking about their life, and I'll just be all this data is coming to me. And they're like, it sounds like you know my family. And I was like, I don't know, but I'm just talking. And it's saved my fucking health, man. It's been amazing. That was 2 years of stuff in a little podcast moment. I hope any of that was digestible or flavorful. And that's all I got. So yeah. That's where I'm at in life. Hey, yay.
How are you feeling?
My round of applause. I feel good. I feel good because I love this stuff. It's so much, and it's so much to make sense of, even for myself, let alone to communicate with other people. Mm-hmm. Can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm so sorry. Cause I went 20 minutes. So I was timing.
It's fine.
Okay, great. I don't want to overstay my welcome. Okay. Well, so, one of the things important to say is, so just, and I should have started with this bitch. Oh God, I'm learning. Okay. Great. So just some prerequisite stuff that I think is just good to share. And maybe we already are like, bitch, where do you know this stuff? Well, So we're one field of unified energy. Hell yeah. Yeah, we are. Okay. But the thing is, as that energy, we're an infinite energy exploring itself. It wants to learn more about itself. So we know to be like our spirit, it comes out of this almost like branches off a tree. It comes out of this infinite source, and it then becomes its own individuated soul, but it's never disconnected from source because it is source. And it's wanting to learn about what is it? What am I as an infinite source of love? Like, what am I? It starts learning lessons as a spirit, but there comes a point where it wants to learn more advanced lessons about unit, about oneness. A lot of those higher lessons that we're in right now, to learn those higher lessons of what oneness is, we endeavor to experience what oneness is not. So we create a physical plane of separation where we are all separate beings, separate bodies, separate hungers, separate cars, separate jobs, separate geography, separate climates. And we experience a delineation of, you know, of 100 million different things. And what that's creating the opportunity for is for all of our different unique frequencies of source. We're all pulling in very different parts of source, like very different frequencies with different data, different styles, different natures. And we're now seeing all the different combinations of what this part that I've taken on in this life is Lawrence, Maria's got her own, Julie's got her own. And we're combining those energies and we're seeing what happens. But also that comes with a lot of pain and suffering, you know, mm-hmm. When we're separated from one another, we're born with an innate sense, I think, of knowing that something's wrong because we're not supposed to be separate from one another, yet here we are. And what happens is when we start feeling fear, when we separate from one another too in that way, again, alleged, my beliefs, but that's why we have all these different hungers because we're without our soul, we're perceivably without our source connection. Mm-hmm. So we're hungry for all the, we're hungry for food, we're hungry for water, we're hungry for sex, we're hungry because there's a part of us that's feeling without. So we have to connect with our environment to feel satiated. But what happens is once we're in a world built on separation and fear, that's what creates for the experience of violence and people centralizing violence to control land, to control who gets what access to what land and what water and what airwaves. So then what companies get to prosper and who, mm-hmm. you know, and whoever's getting that early on gets to create the mechanical zoo that we're in. So we're all operating out of fear of like, how am I going to get to whatever company I can work at to get whatever paycheck to go, whatever food in my mouth, whatever. But the thing is, these are not random challenges that are just bad and life sucks. It's literally teaching us higher levels of pain and suffering based off the separation we're experiencing. Because once we learn every more of what oneness isn't, it's inherently when we do this process of truly transmuting the data and uninverting it, it's teaching us about what oneness is. And then when we start choosing oneness, you know, when someone says hi to me on the street and I would sometimes say no because I'm a New Yorker and I'm a bitch, I'll sometimes not even acknowledge them. I don't know who the fuck you are. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what you want with me. I don't know if you're going to try to follow me home and kill me. No, I know. No. But then I'm like, you know what? Fuck, I'll choose oneness today. So then I go, hi. And the thing is like those little moments, wherever they happen in your life, once you start choosing that, the data starts transmuting. And then all of a sudden the vortex of your life starts looking very different. You know, and that's the whole point of how oneness comes here in this plane of separation and how it really is serving us. But it's serving us insofar as we serve ourselves by doing the work that we feel intuitively inspired to do, which means when we see problems with the justice system, when we see problems with how the economy is structured and why is it one person at the top of the pyramid is controlling land and water is privatized and an education system that's in training us to look to our authority figures and to that are like that we're on these factory lines of having to meet deadlines to obey authority figures to then get the next cookie to go to the next part of the factory. We're learning all of that because that is how fear creates a world. But because we understood what a fear-based world looks like, we can now consciously, creatively take the control back and create a world that isn't that. But it's not going to happen until we understand what fear is, what fear builds, and that we accept it. We accept it and that we have love for it too, you know, and that we're able to forgive it because we see how we're all one. And this isn't a thing happening to me. You're serving me in a way that will have to happen on the next podcast. But I just want to say that. So yeah, that's kind of more like the floor plan that I wanted to express to make some of this spirit, but incarnation, oneness, but separation make sense. Whew.
Oh man. I loved it. Cause it was like going places and I was like, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Certain things. And like, I also, just got recently diagnosed with ADHD and I'm like, I need to have like, especially like working from home and not being out and about as much. So like, what does that look like? And meditation sometimes is very difficult to sit there. Cause then I'm like thinking of all the things I have to do. Like I remember doing this meditation, like not this week, but last week. And then I started playing one of my games on my phone as the meditation.
Which game? You have to tell us.
Two Dots. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see you on Two Dots.
Shout out this podcast. We need a sponsorship for
Two Dots.
We need a Two Dots sponsorship. Sponsor this podcast. We have a long time passionate player of the game. Okay. Plug. Okay.
No, I started playing this game like literally the winter I moved to Chicago. So about like seven, eight years ago, I started like the game just came out and they had just started the levels to the point where I like beat the game. Cause it was so cold and being from Arizona, never like, you know, had experienced such cold. And so I like tweeted at them like, oh, we need some new levels. Like joking. And they tweeted back at me and it was very cool. But I've been playing it ever since. And it's like, it's my bus game. It's just a very fun, aww. But if you like, don't pay attention and like an hour passed and you're like,
No, I was just gonna say, I played that game for about 2 months and then I got bored because I get bored very easily, but like, it is a solid game.
Yes. I have my own little games that I do in different eras, but I've been playing one game for the last like 2+ years, but I've never been formally diagnosed with ADHD, but the thing is it's come up in readings for me and I also just know it. Yeah. And I don't have a lot of maybe things because I'm still learning how I manage my own ADHD because literally meditation has, that's why when I was starting to meditate, it was, I knew something bigger beyond me or what I view as me was happening. Cause I'm like, I do not do this naturally. I do not do this well. I fucking suck at this. My brain is running 1,000 miles a minute, analyzing 10,000 things at once. This here, the other, this conversation, that interaction, this thing in the past, this thing. And I'm just running through so much data. Capricorn, like we're little systems thinkers, systems builders. And I, but it's just running and racing without me even realizing, cause my energy's calm. I'm not like, well, what an egregious bullshit thing I just said. After that 20 minute.
But no, I, as a friend who's known you for a while, sometimes I'll see you in places and I know you like need to be by yourself. And you have, my mom's also Capricorn, so she has very similar energy. She's like, when I'm ready to be on, I'll be on. When I don't want to be on, I don't want to be on. So I was like, I know when Rents isn't talking to me, it has nothing to do with me. It's them like trying to figure out their own thing. Cause my mom's very similar. Cause sometimes people be like, oh, Yolanda, my mom is like, you know, stand off, and she's like, she just needs to like recharge her energy and then she'll be back on. So
yes, yes. And a lot of that is, well, I don't want to speak on behalf of all the Capricorns, okay, because we're all unique. Okay, but I can speak for this one. I, and a lot of the ones that I'm close with, my version of this, where Capricorns were very like, we're very logical, systems oriented, blueprint builders. That's why a lot of like the, that's why like a lot of like Lord of the Rings, DC, Marvel, Pokemon, they're made by Capricorns. Like they we're taking a lot of data, and we're earth signs that are very, I believe, very good at building tectonic plates for people. It's why like I love writing for people. Like I love writing things and figuring out how all the dramaturgy of the play is going to work for everybody. Like I, and so, but the thing is, that's a lot of fucking data to have in your brain at all times.
Sure.
And so when you're sitting with that, and a lot of people don't understand Capricorns, why a lot of people think Capricorns are cold. They're not. They're just unconsciously holding onto whole continents of data in their mind without even realizing it half the time. And it's hard to find people that understand what that's like. It's hard when you're aware of that much data. It's sometimes hard when you're, we're all operating with some level of fear. It's hard to trust people. And then if I have a continent on my brain, how is it that I can be like, have like a very quick casual fluid conversation with you when this is happening? You know what I mean? Sure. But that's not all Capricorns, but I'm saying that's part of my experience, part of some others I know. And okay, so your mom, hey, so your mom is, I have your mom's back for life. I have your back too. I will defend you with every single inch of my fiber and my body and my mind and my spirit, but also your mom especially, I got her back, and she's,
I had to double check, and my mom's also a Capricorn.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because I love Capricorn women. Yeah.
Yeah. We okay. discovered that the other day. We're like, Julie was like, my mom's birthday is today. I was like, mine was like 3 days ago. So.
Okay. So seriously. Okay. Just out of pure bias. What, I don't know how, like if y'all, whatever y'all relationships are like, because again, relationships are complex. We're all very different beings coming together. So there's going to be all kinds of lessons, all kinds of triggers, all kinds of things. And that's beautiful. There's supposed to be triggers, and lessons are what advance our souls to grow. But because they're Capricorn, please give them some hall passes and say like, yo, I know being Capricorn's hard, and I'm going to stand by what I think maybe, but be like, mom, I love you, okay? Because go Capricorn women forever. You know what I'm saying? Give them a little, like, you know what I'm saying? Just like some extra love today, because yeah, bias. but
Rents, do you know what signs Maria and I are?
Oh yeah.
No, I don't.
Okay. Okay. If you had to guess, okay, we're not Capricorn, so we'll give you that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I already know, honey. I could smell Capricorn. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm actually really bad at this. No, I'm not. I don't want to claim that energy. Okay.
I'm just really curious, especially because you seemed like so there's a lot that you said that I felt very, very strongly about in like a good way.
Okay, great. Anyway.
Because, and I'm a person that like, it's one of those things where I have felt certain things that you've described. And I'm not necessarily afraid of the things that I have felt or like the experiences I've had when it comes to my spirituality or what have you, but it's more like, I don't know if I understand this. I'm not going to say no to it, but I'm going to kind of like let it sit and kind of just let it be and not question it too much and just kind of let it maneuver
or
manifest however it's going to be. And so, and usually it doesn't get much further than that. And maybe that's something I need to work on. But I feel very in touch with like spirituality and very like close to it. I was raised Catholic and I don't really abide by that. I don't agree with it. Well, it's mostly because organized religion really, like, it's fucked me up in a lot of ways. And so, but it was designed to,
and it's serving you in a way, but that is what it, sorry. To all the Catholics out there, we love you. No judgment, we love you.
But it's one of those things where I respect the belief system. I think it can be a beautiful thing. I think mankind has kind of fucked it up a bunch and it's no longer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I think in theory, these things that were put in place are like valuable and they present a purpose. But I think ultimately, like, the fear and like the need to control, like, these things have really made it difficult for that to maintain any sort of sustainability in a healthy lifestyle for most people. But I still have like a very good relationship with spirituality and like with the interconnectedness of things, if you will. As you might call it, the oneness.
I love that.
I didn't invent it, but I
understand, but I know you, like, because there were so many things that you were talking about that I'm like, I know what you're talking about. I've never heard it called that. I've never heard it explained in such a way. And I really kind of, like, part of me, like, as soon as you finished, I was like, you should write a book. Like, that was in my brain. Just because I think that there's enough there that you can pull on from your personal experiences that people would want to read and relate to. Yeah. Anyway, what I'm getting to with this is that I feel very, like, with astrology specifically, like, I feel like I'm pretty on with my signs. But it's one of those things too, where it's like, it is, because there's that whole stigma about, like, things that are woo-woo and, like, you know, totally, like, a little too much.
And that's by the way, that's by design too. Like, there's no coincidence that culture has encoded these things to be like that, but that's a whole other conversation. But
for sure. But it's just one of those things where it's like, again, but everybody's so different. Everybody is kind of molded by their experiences and, like, learn things from different things. So it's one of those things where, like, I don't want to subscribe to this too much. Like, I'll take from it what makes sense.
Totally.
But at the same time, like, if I say, like, oh yeah, I fully believe in this, I feel like it closes the door on other things. You know what I mean?
Totally, right? Totally. No, oh, I was gonna say, I was just like, Julie, that was fucking dope. I loved everything you said. I subscribe. Wait, so Maria, you were saying?
No, we're allowed to evolve. Like,
right? You are, Maria, you have such a, both of you, the way that you guys even encouraged me to feel safe enough before this call started. You guys are both embodying such infinite energies, but a divinely feminine energy that is so, and we're all feminine and masculine. We're all both, but the feminine energy that you guys are embodying that is so emotionally intelligent, that is so aware of how people are feeling. Julie, you did not even for one second let me be scared. You came in really quick with, like, this is what the space is. This is what I wanted to feel like. This is why. And I was like, it was both so masculine and feminine. Both forces were happening, but there's such a divine femininity that is so emotionally intelligent, is aware of how everything in the system is feeling. Mm-hmm. And that is the thing that in moments is going to feel like it's weighing you down, because you're sensitive to that grind culture. You're sensitive to other people's egos. You're sensitive to injustice and poor ways that people are treating you that seem unwarranted. But the thing is, there is one, it's because those are your gifts. That is why you came here, to be in tune with what should be here in contrast to what is currently we're experiencing, and that there is errors therein, not to judge those errors, but to be able to say, this is not what I choose. I am the creator of my life. Julie's a creator of her life. Maria's a creator of hers. And I'm choosing to use my creative abilities to make this different, a different experience for us. So the most beautiful thing in the entire world, especially to what you just said, Maria, do you know how much I would cry to have a teacher that is literally made of your DNA and your fibers? Literally, I'm a very sensitive Capricorn. Systems think I overanalyze. I'm in my ego, afraid of so many things. I'm unconsciously taking in so many different people's behavior models around me. And, like, it scares me seeing how some people treat each other and how they, like, manipulate information. I'm like, that's not what happened. But to have a teacher that literally, I've had amazing teachers. I don't want to be like, fuck all my teachers. You hear me? No, I'm kidding. I've had some amazing, amazing, amazing teachers. And I've had some that I love, were one. I got you, brothers and sisters, but bitch, y'all were on some bug shit for real, but it's okay. Love you. It's all serving a purpose. I'm grateful. Okay. But to literally have a teacher that's like, Maria, it's going to be difficult for you in the beginning, figuring out how is it that I'm Maria, a very divinely feminine, a very emotionally intelligent, artistic being in a leadership position in an overall culture and economy that's not designed for anyone's wellness. Mm-hmm. It's not designed for tyranny, because the structure can keep us super uncomfortable. If they literally made it impossible to survive, we would be forced to change it. They make it comfortably horrible.
Right.
You know, but you are sensitive to that. But the thing is, where you can get all of your energy, once you start actually, I mean, I'm saying it like you don't already value yourself, but I hope you fucking value yourself, but consciously and actively and fully, because the effect that you get to have on young artist minds, literally, there is, saying the word God or love, whatever you want to call it, spirit is literally in every single mind that you're teaching. And you get to use your light in a way that a lot of people aren't able to use their light to connect to those artists in a way. What I would have, as a sensitive, little, emotionally intelligent, little Capricorn, if I could have had a Maria Konopkin as my teacher, I would have been like, my heart can rest. And you knowing that you are one with those students, that you teaching them is actually teaching you. You're expanding your light. You're learning how to be your biggest light when you're with them and they're giving you that opportunity. Focusing on that is what's going to show you your entire path. You know what I mean?
Thanks.
If you focus on all of the walls in the way, you're just going to get more walls. Right. But when you focus on the water that's moving through the walls, like these students, and but not in a way that's like, we feel, especially as feminine people, we feel like guilty saying like, I think I'm fucking awesome and I have a lot of light to give. You know what I mean? We have to like, because of we're in an ego zoo, we have to be like, right. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm shit. I'm an idiot. What the fuck am I? You know what I mean? I did that 10 times on this fucking call and you corrected me. So thank you. But you knowing that that's the type of light being you are, and that's the type of feminine energy and the type of intelligence, consciousness, safety, love that you create, mm-hmm. you already have everything you need to like, to literally to do the evolution that, also what a beautiful phrase you said, we're allowed to evolve, bitch. That's how you know you're a poet, bitch. But so the more that we focus on the energy, you already have your entire thing in front of you that you need. These your students, these other artists that you can mm-hmm. teach, that can teach you, that you can even collaborate with. And the energetic connection you have together, that is literally, that's the connection that you can expand throughout your entire life and the world around you. As long as we focus on understanding the value of it, that right. There's an infinite spirit in there and we're connecting and we're expanding. And then let everything else fall into place the way that it needs to. The different grindings, the different job opportunities, the different like, conflicts and the different egos and the, you know what I mean? But when right. we focus on the light, all that stuff will find a new configuration without us even trying. Allegedly, but that's what I mean.
I just need to say something because I don't know if you knew this. I went through a really traumatic moment during the pandemic where I was hospitalized with COVID for about a week.
Okay.
And came out of it reeling with gratitude. But like, I feel coming out of that and like, I just left a toxic job. I've taken some toxic energies out of my life. Yes. And I just started like something that's as close to my dream job as I've ever had.
Where I get
to be near like sharks all the time.
Shit, mm-hmm. That's fucking cool.
It's not necessarily like I'm doing HR. So it's like, it's, you know, it is what it is, but
you're in the space. You're in the space. It's a whole board. That's fucking dope.
But like through my journey, and this is, I'm relating this back to you because so much of what I've heard you talk about, especially even just now talking to Maria, it's like, you are just so engrossed in pulling people up and empowering people. And so much of what I like was trying to harvest in the time where I was like, what? Because I got out of the hospital. I was like, I cannot live my life anymore.
Yes.
Any life that I have left, which hopefully is, you know, many years, but like, I can't live it in a job where I'm working 40 hours a week, where I know that it's putting a strain on my mental health.
Yes.
I know that I'm not happy. I know I'm not at my best because I'm unhappy and I don't have the energy to put into things that I actually are giving me joy. And I told myself that I had to make some pretty interesting changes, or at least like commit myself to making those changes for myself, because this was not sustainable for me mentally. Like I knew that it wasn't going to be good. And I knew it wasn't going to be good when I started that job, unfortunately. And it took me a year to figure out what needed to happen next. Mm-hmm, but so much of that experience made me feel like I really had to take my life by the reins and do what I wanted and what I felt was best and what was going to bring me joy. But so much of that has also been like, if I'm doing this for me, I should probably try and be doing this for other people too.
Yes. And, yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? And so much of what you've said, and just like everything you've said about Maria, which I fully agree with, by the way, Maria is an amazing teacher and she's just like so eloquent and lovely. And
I would die. I would die. Yeah.
Love. We love Maria here.
Oh, I love you both.
But like, it's just, I feel like the world like society, whatever you want to say, this is going to sound very like blah, blah, blah. Right, but like, but I feel like people are so hungry to feel valued, to feel important, to feel like they matter. And like that tiny bit of kindness, even if it's just walking down the street and saying hello to someone who said hello to you, smiling at someone who smiled at you.
Yes.
Like that will change someone's day.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean? And so, and I just, and if you are taking time to tell your friend even over a Zoom, like, hey, if I had a teacher like you, my life would be made better. Like, you know what I mean? Like those,
yes,
which is a huge thing, but like this, it's in terrible, it's terribly upsetting to me to see how terrible people are to each other when it's so much easier to just say, hey, I see you.
Yes. That was the phrase in my head. It's actually seeing each other and seeing what it is we actually are, which this economy and the culture that it engenders does not allow us to see, because this entire system, the economy, which is the skeletal backbone of it all that informs all the culture, which informs all the media systems, which informs all the entertainment system, which informs the education system, the it's not to demonize. It's not like these evil, evil world owners. That's, I don't think that's the way to understand it. It's operating out of fear. They are so afraid to be alive. They are so afraid that they're going to lose resources. They create all of these, the economic backbone out of fear, being like, we need to control the land and the sky and the space and all the water and all the minerals, because we need to hoard all the resources so we can make as much capital on it so we can survive as and thrive as best as we can, which means 99% of all the rest of the humans got to have nothing. But in order for one person, whoever centralized fire first and said, I get to control who gets what land here and who pays what rent here, and who da 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 da, they're creating those systems. But what ends up happening is then, everyone, then as you're building vertical systems of businesses, you are creating a system of control by which every level controls by contract the level below them, which means I don't actually hire you because I built a long relationship with you, because I know you, because I love and value you. I'm hiring you because I need a certain thing done for my business, and you have to do X things, or I have the freedom to fire you. When we are contracting each other out of fear and control, no one is being valued. Mm-hmm. But that's not because an evil person is not valuing me. It's because they are not valuing themselves, because they don't even see their own spirit. I have not even scraped the surface of my iceberg of understanding what spirit feels like. I swear to God, I don't swear to God. I love you, God. You're the best. But like when you even feel what that one feels like, and I've had a good 4 or 5 moments where I don't hold on to it for long, because again, my own ADHD. And the second I start tuning into it, I'm telling you, you can feel what that oneness feels like. I can't even explain it. And then I lose it. I'm like, oh, because once I start getting it, I'm like, oh, don't lose it. Don't fuck this up. And then that's what fucks it up. Sure, yeah. When you feel what that feels like, and it's the energy that moves everything in the universe. I've been offered jobs. I've been offered money. I've been handed things. I literally will one day be thinking, man, I really wish I could like have a this or learn how to fix a this. And all of a sudden I get recommended the exact YouTube video. There was a machine that my mom and I wanted to buy that I forget everything that it does. We literally at the farmer's market that Saturday met the man that builds them.
Wow.
Like this seems like a machine for the world. He builds these machines. I'm like, but the thing is like, sorry, that when you're tuning with spirit, you have no reason to fear, because everything is brought to you as you need, because you are one with it. But the people that are running these vertical systems, they're out of tune with their own oneness. By the way, so are we a little bit. So all we got to do is focus on our building. But as they build these systems built out of fear, no one is being valued for their literal spirit. So it's like, that's why none of us feel valued, why we're all feeling used and abused, and why we're getting worked beyond our nature. Mm-hmm. And a good litmus test for knowing that, for I always cut to this in my brain. I go to a thing of nature and I'm like, when I'm looking at a business or even a group of artists I'm working with or something, I go, how we're functioning as a group, does nature move like this? Like if I was out in a really beautiful oasis with trees and water, how is nature moving? The reason I say that is nature's not working 9 to 5 and yet still can't afford rent.
Right.
That's when you know that something is wrong with the way that we've divided up the resources and the rules that we've unnecessarily put upon how it is you acquire some of those resources. Like we're not actually living on Earth. We're living on like a mechanical zoo that was built and placed upon it. And but the thing is, the people that are bosses, they are not the ones causing our problems. They are us in different parts of the ladder. They have their own boss above them that's, you know, doing whatever thing that our boss is doing to us. And the thing is, we're actually, once we realize that we're all actually experiencing the same problem, it's just how are we going to figure out the way out? You know what I mean? Which is, to sound very wonderfully, beautifully corny, it's the way in, to go into your own mind. Everything in the universe is literally inside your own mind, and all the healing is there, and it's going to open up everything. That's why in these moments when we're able to talk to each other like this, we're actually speaking to each other's souls and to what each other actually is, and we're valuing it. Everything in life is either an act of love, it's either an extension of love, or it's a call for love. Every single thing. Easier said than done. When someone's being a fucking dick to me, it's hard for me to be like, well, this is just a call for love. It's like, fuck you, bitch. No, it's not. But it really is ultimately that. And the more that like I'm meditating on that, and I try to get as much time every day, every week to sit with that feeling. And then I get opportunities where I'm able to meet those people that are treating me in a certain way. You're actually able to see the inner child in there, the spirit in there. I've had moments where, it's okay to digress, Lawrence. It's fucking okay. Okay. I was out dancing with, a homeboy. All right. Okay. Just getting, you know what I mean? Being one of the girls, you know, just having fun. And there was a guy who was completely just wasted and was thrashing. And it was crowded. He was thrashing around and he like knocked right into, really aggressively physically, not meaning to, he's just belligerent and he's dancing. Yeah. And so my New York entity was like, hey, like I did a little one of those, like I was on the street yelling at a cat or something. And he turns around and I was angry because I felt hurt because I physically was hurt. And then also I was like aggressed and annoyed. And the second, but also that was, I'm well into my little spiritual game, right? Fitness. So the second he looked at me, I tuned into something right when I looked into his eyes, and I can't explain. I was seeing not his body or his ego or his any of that. I was seeing the spirit in him that was embodying this little Megazord that wasn't understanding what it was doing and how it was hurting people. Mm-hmm. And I immediately, this is unconscious to me. I'm not controlling this. I forgave him instantly. I was like, and I literally was like, because he started yelling at me when I yelled at him. And I was like, hey, I literally was like, oh my God, no, hey, it's okay. Hey, it's cool, cool, cool. Love you. And like, I literally gave him a hug. And from then on, best friends, everything was great. He wasn't thrashing around anymore. He was so still wasted, but he wasn't causing anyone any problems right. anymore. And we were best friends. And I don't say that every moment's going to have a kumbaya at the end of it, but those people that are doing that, that are treating us in these certain ways, in training our ability to see spirit through something that seems like the opposite of it, and also to communicate. Anyways, there to serve us, blah, blah, blah. That was a huge digression out of the thing. What I want to say was it is very profound that you knew in your gut how much, because I was in that same place of like literally all these spheres in my life. I can feel that these things are not serving me and that there's wrong energy here and that I need to get things moving. It literally is your path. And it was part of the fact that you're tuning into that. You are on the exact path you needed to be on to get the exact catalysts that were coming your way, to have the exact re-engineering to know that something was wrong. And that's your higher intuition, that your higher self literally communicating that to you. And then now, and as you said, it took you a year to figure out what it is you were going to do about it. And that was the time that you carved out for yourself to figure out what those moves are. And there's always going to be more moves. How are you feeling?
I mean, it's been a lot, but in like the best way, you know, like the difference between like good and bad stress type thing. Only because like, I will say, and I might take this back at some point in my life, but like, I enjoy change. And I find that I think change is generally a very good thing. And I don't fight it. I generally, like, if I know it's coming, I'm going to embrace it. I am not a person that's like, oh, I hate change. Like I don't do well with change. Like that's not me. However, change still requires change. Like it's still a transition. It's still something you have to readapt to. And so, it's been like the biggest part of this has been a lot of unlearning shit that I learned in a job I was unhappy, like shit that I got used to dealing with thinking it was okay because that's what norm was.
Energy that you were accepting from people that you knew was like, this is an error. This is something that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And you were accepting it. Yeah.
Now that I'm in this new job, like things things can be at a different pace, and like there's patience and there's graciousness and there's like kindness and there's an abundance of knowledge that people are like, I'm ready to help you along when you are ready to move on, you know? And yes. So it's just like, and they're so, I've already received so much positive feedback about me being there, which I was also like, I've only been there for like less than 2 weeks. So I was already like, okay, well, great. I'm glad this is like a yes. mutual love that we're experiencing. And so it's just been, a lot of like rewiring a bit to kind of be, and also like not overly like, I'm so glad to be here. Everything was terrible. You know, like, I feel like there's only so much of that they can take until they're like, did we just hire a very damaged person?
It's like, you're like, I love you, but also, wow, you needed help.
It's yeah. Like I don't want them to
be the fact that like for like some people, it's like, she thinks this is like a big deal. It's like, you have no idea. This is a very big deal.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm trying to play it very cool.
Yeah. It's like dating when it's like you the relationships are so crap, and then someone's just like, hey, I held the door open. It's like, well, we're in love.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I totally relate to that. Oh my God.
And it's like, it's a diverse team and they really like practice what they preach. I've been so impressed by the amount of things that they're actually doing to make what they do more accessible and make it more educational for everybody. And like, they're doing something right. You know what I mean? And so it's really cool to be a part of something where people are doing something right. And they're actively trying to constantly better those things as well.
Yes. And by the way, that's because you are too, you are doing something right. That it's no, I truly say this and I mean it in like 100 million different degrees. There is no accidents happening. Mm-hmm. It is no accident or coincidence that you, at the time that you did, came into that job, you were in total energetic alignment with it. And it began with, was you getting sick and you feeling this about your job concurrent? Was that happening around the same time? Like when you're feeling about the job and getting COVID and that?
I mean, it was going in waves ever since I had been hired. Like it had been gone in waves of like, I got into a very bad cycle of like, oh, well, I just got to push it through to the next day. And then would go through a phase. And then finally for like a couple of weeks, things would be good.
And that was with the previous job.
And then like the next phase would come where like, oh my God, why am I still here? But every time we got to that point, it would be worse.
Yes. And the thing is, you already know everything that I'm feeling. I already know that you know this, which is why you've gotten to this other side of the tunnel in the light. But the thing is, it's so coincidence that you're getting sick at the same time that this stuff is happening, because the energy that you are embodying, that's allowing people to treat you in certain ways or whatever, especially you also literally have such a rich, grounded divine feminine energy as well, that like knows how it is you want people to feel. As feminine energies, we allow people to like do whatever they do to us, because like we accept it, we still love you, we also don't want to cause any problems, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or however it manifests in a billion different ways, these energies. But that energy that you were connecting with was, as you already knew, it's like, this is not serving me. And it was also the point of getting sick is not just like, that's your punishment for, it's literally, our bodies are showing us, mm-hmm. our bodies are compasses. They're literally reflecting back to our mind. Hey, there's something our mind is experiencing that it doesn't want to anymore. Like, because the mind and the nervous system, it's what's also encoding the body, and it's running all the metabolic processes. And like so when like certain levels in our blood are high or low or something, like it is taking root in our nervous system, and the body will then get sick in a certain way or will get inflamed in a certain way, because what it's telling you is, hey, your mind is digesting and processing an energy that actually is not serving us.
Right.
And so the body, but then what happens when that happens? We start judging our body. Mm-hmm. We start saying, oh God, there's something's wrong with my body. I got to fix it. I'm sick. I got it. And it's like, literally, our bodies are literally serving us. Our bodies literally just telling the mind, hey, brain up there, there's something that we're energetically, cognitively processing that we don't want to anymore.
Right.
And so you did the move of like knowing that like this job and the energy that it was not for you. And then the energy, because the energy that you were aligning with inside, even if you didn't spell it out, but you were aligning with a different energy that is this energy, where it's like people are gracious and they're conscientious and they are connected and they love each other and they're passionate and they're there for each other. And so you literally, you attracted that in because you were aligned with it. And like moving forward, as you're looking for every step with this job, with other opportunities, with any other even creative things, the more we can spend some time thinking about what is it that I would like to align with, which means not thinking about something as if it's separate from you or away from you, but thinking of it like, what is a job or a creative opportunity or something that I would like to have? What would it feel like to have it? And I'll literally think about like this thing that I really want to finish writing, or this thing that I, you know, whatever. I'll sit and I'll be like, what would it feel? Because I'm like, I already believe that it's done. I'm just working out my way of connecting to my life. I'm just working on my own connections. What would it feel like? When you sit with that energy, and really as much as possible, don't treat it like a job, but just when you can, feel what that feels like. You're going to align with the different energies and more things are going to come in. And you literally already did it.
Oh. Well, now that we've gotten here, we're going to introduce a segment that we're going to ask you some whimsical questions. Marie and I will take turns. They're just totally top of mind, or as you said, off the dome. And they're just like to kind of gauge other sides of your personality, right, and just have some fun.
Okay. Yeah. I love that.
Perfect. I will go first. This is a new one, and this is a stupid one. Are you a person
that
uses...
No, okay, fine. No, you know. No. I'm kidding.
This is a controversial question, though. Do you use or do you not use a top sheet?
So I guess this is very damning for me to say that I'm like, I don't even know that I truly understand what a top sheet is. Like I have, that's, well, it's just a sheet on top of the sheet and you can pull it down. And it's like when you have the sheet... Yeah, it's like that sheet that you can like kind of use as like a really thin non-blanket if like, you know. Okay,
I thought you were talking about a fitted sheet, and I was about to be so grossed out. Like, who doesn't use a fitted sheet?
Oh,
and then I realized it wasn't
the fitted sheet, and then there's like the top sheet and the flat sheet.
Yeah, it's like when you, yeah, no. So
this is one of my favorite things to ask people because it is a foreign concept to me not to use it.
Yeah, but if there's any men out there that would only come back with me, if I had a top sheet, then the answer is yes. I always sleep with the top sheet.
You're right. That was the end goal of this conversation.
Yes, oh my God, I am a top sheet man. I'm very proud. Oh, not a top, God, but I'm a top sheet man.
There you go. I remember my first like month or two in Chicago, I met this this man with quotes around it, and he took me back to his apartment, and he had an air mattress, and I was just like, okay, whatever, like people fall, I'm not gonna judge or whatever. And then like he was telling me how much he loves an air mattress, and I was like, oh, are you just saving up for like a mattress or a futon or something? Like, again, I just like wanted to have sex, like I, you know, my, if it's gonna be my boyfriend, then I would have more standards.
I don't care what element this mattress is made of, air, water, earth, fire, just send me to the Avatar state. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. But he was so excited that he was like, no, I prefer an air mattress. And I was like, well, I prefer not to have you inside me. So we're going to move on.
Hey.
Okay. I blocked my own blessings, but I could probably tell it wasn't going to be a good night. You know what I mean?
It also is the name of something. You should write a thing called I Block My Own Blessings. There could be a whole work of poems. So it could be good. A show. It could be a live reading of poems in a show. I Block My Own Blessings. But the whole show is about in receiving your blessings now. That could be a great show. Anyways. So yeah, no top sheet.
Okay. Yeah. Being a musician.
Do I suck now? Like, are you like, no, man, this bitch no sucks?
I thought we were talking about fitted sheets, and I was like, oh my God, who doesn't
use a fitted sheet? I like have always used top sheets, like, and I sometimes only use a top sheet because I'm a person where like I don't like to be fully like I want to be covered, but I also like I get very warm when I sleep. So like a top sheet usually does me good. But when I didn't realize that people, it's like one of those things where like, you know how you have your feelings and you have your thoughts and like, you just assume that this is like a human experience and everybody has feeling to the same level you do. And I was just like, it was like, oh, so this is just a common thing. Like everybody uses a top sheet. And I remember I posted it once on Facebook and like, it had so many comments. It was like such a conversation starter and on this super mundane topic. Yeah. And I was like, this is wild. And so I thought about this today and I was like, I'm going to ask if he uses a top sheet. That's going to be one of my questions.
Yes. Ooh, I love that. Well, now watch how I change. I'll be a changed man after this.
What would be your ideal, like, if this is going to be my perfect day, what would that day be?
Oh, that is such a beautiful, you all are beautiful. I mean, oh, that's such a good question. Oh, okay. Well, my perfect day would be April 25th because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. No, I'm kidding. My perfect day would be, so yeah, wake up without needing an alarm. I just wake up and you know what? It's actually going to be like nice and early, like even before the sun is out. I don't do that now, but in my dreams, I'm that woman that gets up at like 4 or 5 naturally. So I would get up nice early. I would walk outside. I always try to get my feet into like the grass, like immediately when I wake up. And I would take my thyroid pill first thing, you know, like I get my thyroid together. Like we're on that journey. So thyroid pill, then I would be outside. I would do maybe like a breathing exercise because I'm trying to work on my breath. Breath is important. I'm reading a book called Breath by James Nestor. Okay. Plug,
plug, plug.
Give me I need a royalty on every book sold now that I've promoted this on this podcast, Jimmy. Work on my breath. So I do like my breathing exercise and I would have the patience and the beauty and the comfort of doing my breathing exercise. And I would do a light meditation without my brain going, no, stop doing this. We are not fit for this. You know what I mean? But just really nice and easy, do it all. Then I would have my little celery juice or something. You know what I'm saying? And then, oh, but you know what? Wait, I wouldn't be alone. I would have people because I would be living on a compound with like my loved ones, family, friends, the men's. Like we would, well, okay, that might be a weird combo, all three, but something like that. So we would actually be outside together doing a little breathing exercise, doing a little group meditation. Then we would make some juice together. Then we would make a little breakfast shortly after and then go on a walk. I'm realizing that I'm just a spiritual grandpa. I'm just realizing that my things are very that. I'm like, then we would go on a walk. Then we would come back to the house and be like, oh my God, like now we're gonna write. And we would get in the studio. We would write some music. So one of the bitches would be like, I'm an amazing soundsmith and I've got a beat and they're gonna start playing a beat. And then one of us could be like, oh my God, I have a great idea for that. And then we're just gonna bounce and we're gonna write music together for like a couple hours. Okay, then after that, we're gonna have a dope lunch. Like it's gonna be delicious. Dope lunch. I eat a lot of vegan chili now and like that I make and like vegetables and stuff like that, which I love, but I know it's boring to say. Anyways, then we would eat real, real good. Oh, but actually scratch, I would also get a little fitness in the morning too. I'm not that girl yet, but we're gonna do it in the morning. It's like 6 a.m. little workout. Okay. Then we would have a good little lunch. And then I would love to, and we're smoking while we're writing. Like we are getting lit. We are smoking. We are, you know what I mean? We're getting we're all part of the green club.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We would be smoking during the writing session. And then we would probably go out to some show that either one of us is in or that we're supporting, you know what I'm saying? And then we would like go to that show. And then we would also do like another family dinner. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of togetherness and eating and like being creative together.
I think it's funny that like this ends with a bonfire.
Oh. Oh my bitch, yes! Okay, then we're going to the bomb. We get back from the show. We're all still little pretty litty. So mm-hmm. We go back for a post game, go back to the house. And then so getting litty, there's a bonfire. We're all talking and just bonding. And then we're smoking more probably. And then someone brings out snacks. It's very food and drug and writing based. And then
that sounds like a great day.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe there's a men's is there and maybe like, we're like canoodling and being intimate and like conversing and opening up and having a great one-on-one. That's the thing. Great one-on-one combos. I need that while we're out at the show. I need that while we're at the bonfire. And I need that like at the end of the night. And then so great little one-on-one talk and then do my little nightly meditation and then set some intentions for the next day and then go to bed.
I love it.
Wow.
That's the day.
Love it.
That's a really busy day for not sounding. Anyways,
it's a detailed day, but it's still chill.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a good read, by the way. It's like that's a detailed day. Thanks for going hour by hour. Thank you for giving us like a brochure of the programming. Of you're right. What am I doing?
No, it's beautiful.
Okay, no, sorry. Okay.
Okay, we're gonna go to the next question.
Okay, quick.
For you me, are not... on a deserted island. Unfortunately, you are alone in this question, but you can bring three films with you to watch.
Ooh.
While you're on this island. It does not matter how long you're on there. It's not the point. The question is, what are these three movies?
So the reason why I hate this question, and I do, I claim hatred, and I claim hatred for you in this question, because what? The rest of that podcast. Everything.
He's sorry. Like, I claim love. This one, I claim hatred.
Yeah. All that shit about spirit and oneness, fuck that. Out of there. Hatred. And I feel
like. You have a call for love right now? Are you calling for love?
Yes. Oh my God. Okay. You got me. You got me. You're right. You're right. Okay. Just kidding. I claim love. So I, no, but it's only because I'm not good at, like, I don't know a lot of movies and a lot of TV shows and a lot of music. I'm very illiterate. Like, I don't know why that's the way. I like don't consume a lot of things. I don't know why.
That's okay.
But let's, no, but I'll answer this.
Can we switch the question?
Oh, or I could try to answer it.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say, instead of movies, three things that you'd want on this island.
Oh, three things.
Three things.
What I can, yeah, let's, okay, yeah, we'll do things. But I, even just for the movie, what I can say, what I feel when I hear the question of like, what movies would you bring, is because there is one movie that was like very important to my childhood, which was Sister Act 2. Sister Act 2, sweetheart. I was the nun. I was the nun that created nunnery. Oh my God, like I was none, but I was everything. Like, I love that movie. I love Whoopi Goldberg. I love Lauryn Hill. I love that whole show. So many of the most amazing musical moments that sent my little brain to the stratosphere. I always forget the character's name, so clearly I'm not a big enough fan. But remember when the young boy in the choir hit that high note? Did you guys see the movie?
Yeah.
When Jesus washed my sins away?
Oh, it's
when
beautiful. Jesus, yes.
Whatever. I can't sing. So again, also energy I don't want to claim, but it's true.
I was like, no.
But that moment, and then also at the end when like that moment when they like take off the robes and they're just their spirits unleashing and all the color and the vibrance. And it's like, I'll even, by the way, sometimes to this day as an adult, I'll YouTube that clip and I'll just watch it myself. Also the clip where Lauren and the other girl were singing on the piano. Mm-hmm. Those three scenes, I don't know why they just send my heart, the whole movie. So I would say, I don't know, maybe we won't do three, but that one movie, it is very important to my soul. So I love Sister Act 2.
There's no arguing with that. We don't have to.
Oh yeah. Oh great. And then, but as far as three things, I would literally, by the way, cheat the question. I'd be like, I want my loved ones number one, I want a bunch of delicious vegan chili and other things number two, and then number three, water. I'm very careful, very practical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my last question, because I know you like Drag Race. Yes. What okay, it's combining one of my favorite questions I always ask.
I love where you're going.
So you're doing a heist. You can pick whatever heist you want to do, and you can bring four drag queens. They most likely are on RuPaul, but if there's one that's like needs to be on RuPaul, you can. But it's four, you and four other drag queens. What is the heist, and who are the drag queens?
That is such a good question, because I immediately just want to say all my favorites so that I could just be with them. But then it's like, but they may not be good at heists. Like Alaska and Bob are like two of like my most favorite queens of all time. But Alaska, I don't think would be like that. I don't think she would be good at robbing a bank. But the thing is, didn't she have, there was a music video I was thinking of. Little I don't know how cake. Good Alaska would
little
be.
Little Pound at, Cake.
Little Pound Cake. Was that when they were, there was something with money. I forget the video treatment for the video, but, who would be good at a bank heist? Okay, so let's think. We need someone that can move very sleuthily. So my mind immediately goes, like I would think maybe like a Laganja could be sleuthy, but she's too loud. She wouldn't cover us well. She would give the jig would be up. So I would say Evie Oddly. I think Evie Oddly would be very physically nimble, sleuthy, but also has like a very strong mind for playing the cover of the characters. It wouldn't give Artel away. So I think Evie would be dope at robbing a bank.
I think that's a great choice.
Yeah, I think I could still keep Bob because Bob could talk a very good game that if we got in a jam, Bob could talk us out of it. And also Bob is 6 foot something and is a broad man. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. No. I just wanted to read. No. And I think Bob would be very emotionally, intellectually, and also physically very helpful for the group. So I think Bob would be smart to have in a bank heist group. And then, do I pick one more?
You said Evie,
Bob.
So two more, or if you just want one more.
Two more. I almost think like, in terms of like, maybe we need someone to create a diversion and a distraction. Mm-hmm. So we need someone really loud, fat, and annoying. So I think Lady Bunny, no, I'm kidding. I know. I'm talking like I know these girls. Like I could just say shit like that. I can't. I don't, I just want to say that to be mean. I think Lady Bunny could be good at, what am I saying? Lady Bunny would foil the entire, like, it would be hilarious. It'd be hilarious, but I'm so sorry. So let's just keep Lady Bunny for a distraction. Like she would run to one side of the bank and create a distraction. And then last but not least, we need someone to drive the getaway car. And who do I trust to be very calm under pressure and drive us out of there? Oh, I almost said Peppermint, but no, because Peppermint has a very beautiful guardian energy to me. But I think she would be good, but she would be screaming. She's very beautiful. Who would drive the getaway car? Almost someone like Pearl. I'm saying someone like Pearl should drive the getaway car because she's just so zen. Mm-hmm. And like, you know what I mean? That she would not be doing the high speed driving. I think she would be, so yeah, Pearl would drive the getaway car. Talk about details and overthinking. Do you see how my brain is? Do you see what I'm dealing with? Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are my four.
Great. Okay. So I wanted you to answer this earlier, and I don't think we ever heard the answer. Yeah. So
signs.
I want to know what signs you think we are.
Yep. That will be the last question.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I don't know. I feel like, so for Maria, I'm just going to throw some things out there. I'm like, I could see you possibly being a Pisces or an Aquarius. I didn't get it. What are you?
No, I'm a Pisces rising.
Okay. So I'm getting your rising is what you are conveying to the world. Your rising really is what gets projected to the world. So you're a Pisces rise. Okay. So I'm amazing in my astrology. I've never made a mistake in my life. I'm right. Yep. Oh dang. Okay. So then what's your main? So, mm-hmm. Okay.
You got this.
Well, I don't think it's, is it fire? I was going to say, is it a fire sign? Mm-mm. Okay. Cause I was going to eliminate that first. I was like, it's not but watch how, because I was going to eliminate it. Watch how that's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't think fire. Part of me wants to go earth, but I could see air too. So let's go with, is it earth?
Mm-mm.
So it's air.
Mm-mm.
Is it water again? You're double water? Mm-hmm. Girl. Okay, so Pisces, you're ascending. So then I'm just guessing them all. Is it every other element? No, okay. So because then what's left is Cancer and what's the other water sign? God damn it. Not Pisces. Well, Aquarius is air. Why am I forgetting the water signs? Water is Pisces, Cancer, and wait. Why am I forgetting the third one? Because that's what you are, huh? Wait, what is it? The third one is...
The third one is what I am. So
okay, so then you can't say it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What? How shady to that sign that I literally... I'm like, how am I not knowing?
And you'll be so mad because it's like, that sign is like, how could you forget us?
Exactly. Truly. Oh my God, this is so embarrassing and on live television. there goes my astrology career. Wait, no, don't say, I'm so sorry to waste your time.
You're fine.
Because Cancer is the cardinal of the water. You have Pisces and then Scorpio.
Yeah.
Scorpio. God damn it. Wow, I can't believe I forgot. Oh my God. Because I'm not really like, fluent in astrology.
No,
like,
it's okay.
I know enough to catch it. You're Scorpio. I would not have expected you were Scorpio at all.
There's some tendencies.
How do you feel? How do you relate to your Scorpio-ness? Like, can you, because I would love to know.
Oh, like I hold grudges. Like once you cross me or my friends, like we're done. Yeah. So that's pretty much that. I'm like very intense. And when it comes to like, if I choose, I don't love everybody. Like I'll be nice to everybody, but if I like love you, like I'll love you for life. And then one of my toxic traits is that I'll like deal with a lot, but then once I decide we're done, we're done, and there's like no coming back. So that's a little bit of that.
Yeah, because I feel like Scorpios, of what I tell just some people I know, but then also like celebrities that I know that happen to be Scorpios, like I see a lot of it's very quick, precise, surgical, intuitive movement. It's like these people are like boom, now this, now we're doing that. I'm like, and I think Scorpios are like are the ones with the least problem, like just being honest with what they're like, this is what I'm feeling, boom. Yeah. I feel like it's very that. It's like I think of like Bethany Frankel, even Gordon Ramsay's Scorpio, isn't he? I think.
I don't know, but that would make sense.
But they make, that's their brand of their version of being like that boss is like, they're very, that's why you have a lot of leaders, especially someone like me, that's a little more scared to share what it is I'm feeling. What helps Scorpios so much is they're like, I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that, now we're moving here. And it's not hard for a Scorpio to switch up what they're thinking. Like, oh, actually now I'm thinking that, you know what I mean? They're not stuck the way like I might be stuck in what I'm thinking, but it's like, it's very like, very quick, precise communication of what it is they're feeling, which is an earth sign like me benefits a lot by having water signs like that around me, because they create movement where I might be more stuck. All Scorpio right. And Pisces, you're a water mermaid. Yeah,
but okay. Then I'm a Gemini moon, so.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay. So a lot of, you have very fluid, very momentum. Wow. Yeah. That's you should be very grateful. Half my chart is earth, so. Oh, okay, so our water mermaid, Maria. So now they got Julia. I'm going to be even worse with this. I'm like, is I at least like, what came to me quickly from Maria, I was like, I see Pisces. I was like, I see Pisces, maybe Aquarius. And I was in the water air family. Yes. So I at least was in the jurisdiction. I was in the county lines.
Well, I'll give you one hint. Well, it's not really a hint, but it'll help make things easier. My ascending, my moon and my sun are all the same.
Ascending moon and sun. Okay, so you are uniform. Okay. Fuck. Because part of me, I just randomly start going to like maybe air or earth. Like that's where my brain goes. But I'm like, watch how you're a water too. Because I don't think you're fire, right? No, you are. Fuck, you are fire. You're Aries. Are you an Aries? Are you some Aries shit? No, are you Leo? You're a Leo. And what's so funny is I'm all that reverse psychology. I was like, watch how she's a Leo, because I'm going to say no fire. But I just think that whenever I think something, I'm like, watch how it's the opposite of what I think. You're a Leo.
Okay, are you a Leo son? Triple Leo. So like
triple Leo.
Which I apparently that's like very rare. I think
sure.
Like all of those things are like, to be the same for all of them is very rare.
Yes. You have you have a stellium. You have like a stellium is when you have three or more of a certain sign in your chart. I don't know exactly what it means, but it's just like, that's just a very profound unifying machine of those energies. So you have a stellium of very strong Leo body in there. That's amazing. I have no fire in my chart, in like my main chart. I don't know if there's more that goes beyond, but wow, that's so amazing. Cause both of you guys, oh, that's so great. You're a Leo. And that's okay, because fire signs, what's really great about all the signs I feel, well, because every sign is great, because like water signs are so intuitive and can so feel what's happening around them and can be so healing. They can create a lot of healing when they learn how to tap into their intuition that's clocking all these ailments, you know? A fire sign is really good at transmuting negative energy. So... If you have a room of people that are, that's why you attract all these people, bitch. It's because literally you are literally a glow, especially Leos, because they love identifying this way, because Leos really do know generally how great they are. And they are.
Oh, you got me.
They are great, but it's like Leos really in Cancer. They know. Like Cancer and Leos, they know how great they are. So Leos, it's like fire transmutes negative energy into the very soil that can grow into positive. And so it's like fire comes in like a phoenix, it sends that fire into wherever. That's why, like, you see a lot of Leos, why they're so sparkly and shiny. It's because they come with the energy, and the people around them, and even their own energy or the energy of people around them, is feeling stressed or hardened about certain things that they're focusing on. And then the fire comes in with all of this aligned vibration of charisma and joy and inspiration, even when they're identifying problems too. But a fire sign doesn't get as attached as, say, maybe I tend to as an earth sign. And so they can breathe that fire through, and it takes all those, like, almost like hardened walls that are happening inside a person, and it puts the fire on it, and it melts it down into like a beautiful rich soil that can grow up. And so fire signs do that for the people around them. And that's why you attract and will continue to attract people that see that light in you, even in like unconscious ways. And then you're going to be able to, just by being you, you don't have to say anything or do anything in particular, but you just being you and being your energy and saying what you feel is the energy, not even what you're saying, but the energy by which you're saying is going to transmute that for them. So that's great. And you guys have so much movement. As a Capricorn, I get stuck a lot. Like, I get stuck and I get blocked. So, and everyone does, but you got, that's so great. You have all that movement in you. Oh, I'm so happy for you guys.
I'm a doer. I'm not good at just, like, yeah. I'm not good at not doing
things. Well, that's why you guys get along really well, because Leos and Scorpios are both like that. Almost to a problem. Yeah, if you're around people that can't keep up with that, they'll not like a Scorpio and a Leo for that very reason.
Yeah, I feel like people are Leos get a more positive reputation, and then Scorpios get a negative one. But like, I just think, you know, to be loved by Scorpio is to be a good thing.
Before I knew that, like, there were certain people in my life that were Scorpios, like, I definitely was like part of the many that was like, oh, Scorpios, they're just gonna like hate me and like hold a grudge, blah, blah, blah. And like, and then when I found out some of the people that I was closest to were Scorpios, I was like, oh, whoa, 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 I've been wrong.
Yeah.
And so like, I figured it out, and it was just like a very like old dumb bias. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's how I feel about Cancer men. I've dated like 2 Cancer men, and I'm like, they're all bad. That's it.
It's very weird, because two of my favorite drag queens of all time, Bob and Bianca, they're both Cancers. Mm-hmm. My dad, who I do love, have learned some of the most important things in my life, but also I've had a lot of struggle situations. But I do love him. He's a Cancer, and my best friend from college is a Cancer. So I've been surrounded by a lot of Cancerian people. But so I'm also fluent in what I feel is like a lot of the parts that I do not connect to. And even the things that really can frustrate with me about the way that a Cancer will operate, I'm like, but I find that a lot of the ways when we start identifying what the signs are, we're actually characterizing them based off how we see them dealing with problems. Mm-hmm. So then when those signs are in their place of there's a problem, or they're stressed, or they're figuring out something, it's actually because they're keying into something that maybe there is a problem, and they're learning how to use their tools to solve it. But when we're looking at a Scorpio, or let's say a Capricorn, well, and the Leo is always trying to be flashy, magashy, superstar over here, little beautiful little lioness. Okay.
And we're courageous. Okay. We just go.
You guys are showmen. Like, you guys are literally
true.
And they're great at it, by the way. Right. Like, so many of the, when I will listen to a Leo in an interview, I'm like, you are so vibrant and vibrating. It is so inspiring. I really do.
That's why I feel very attracted to Andrew Garfield lately, because he divulges, oh, Leo man. Yeah. And so, and he's been interviewing so much, and I'm just like, we are the same. I listen to him and I'm like, I get it.
You feel get it
as I do. Why are we separate?
We're Andrew Garfield Stan podcast.
Yeah. Very much.
Do you guys know Liz Gillies, the actress? She's on Dynasty. She was originally on Nickelodeon's Victorious. A show that I didn't watch, but I, because I don't watch kitchen. No, I'm kidding. I don't really watch. I've watched a couple seasons of Dynasty. I don't really know all of her work fluently, but she has these interviews on the Zach Sang show, which are it's just like a radio show that this other gentleman, Zach Sang, runs. And they're friends because they're both from that youth Nickelodeon world. So she's been on his show a lot, and they're good friends. I'm like plugging their show. I'm plugging y'all. She's a Leo, and it's so clear. She is so fluid in her flow. She's so fucking funny. She's so quick. She's effortlessly being exactly, that's how a flame moves. It's just
right.
And it's just all the flourish and the brightness is just moving. And I, as a Capricorn, I'm like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Little earth goat, little slow little earth goat.
But like, are you just holding onto your horns right there?
Sorry, it's like I'm like a little earth goat. We're earth goats. We move one hoof at a time up the mountain. But the thing is, we build mountains. So like, that's what, you know what I mean? And we traverse uncharted mountains for people.
And you're steady. Like, you can do that shit. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So we all have our things and we're all connected to everything in the end. But I'll watch a Liz Gillies and I'm like, that Leo energy. Oh my God. It's so, I look at that energy and I know that part of my growth is inspired by watching fire signs do what they do. Being like, oh, how is it that I could channel some of that in my life?
I love it. Well, this has been like such a great conversation. Definitely our longest podcast, but worth it. Worth it.
No, you had so much to say. So much of it was like,
yeah,
like it was so enlightening and like wonderful to hear. And it, like, I find too that there's moments where, like, you know, it's like moments of inspiration that come to you when you need them. And like, this was very much that.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Like we talked about a little offline, I had a very hard day and this was like, I'm energized. I'm ready. I can take on anything.
So. Yeah. Yes. Yay! Okay, great. Hell yeah. That makes me so happy. Cause it was a learning experience. I'm like, oh, well now, if ever I talk about this, like as I get more used to talking about these things, it'll, I'll learn.
You gotta knock down that fear.
And learn to accept it and love it and just
There you go. Ryan, thank you so much for coming. Do you have anything you want to plug or shows, social media, any more books or food or
anything? Oh, yeah. I don't have anything that I got to plug. You know what I mean? My lamp's already on. Give me some nice light. But I'm in an era right now where, like, as I'm doing all my self-inner work, I'm not really on social media at all, but I will be one day, inshallah, very soon. So, if you out there and want to talk more about spiritual shit or comedy shit or art or writing or food or chili or books, you can just go onto Instagram. My handle is at Lawrence Nema, LawrenceNemeh. And just message me and we'll key and cut it up. But the only thing I really have to say is, and I really do say from the bottom of my, I don't cover my mic. Say from the bottom of my heart, which is, you guys, thank you so much for reaching out to me and for sending out all that love and for inviting me to be a part of your podcast. Like, this is such a gift to me, even just talking to you, let alone being a part of your creative just world. It's such a blessing to me. And I, please, if ever you need anything else ever in the future, short of $1 million, I don't have that yet. It's coming. It's on its way.
It's on its way.
Please let me know, because I love you so much and I would love to pay it back to you however I can. And thank you for encouraging me to speak today. And yay. I love you guys so much. Mwah.
Rents is a writer, artist, bad bitch, and a spiritual grandpa. You can follow them at Lawrence Nema on Instagram.
You can also follow Sparks of Madness on Instagram at Sparks of Madness Podcast. Sparks of Madness is a part of the Trident Network. To learn more about our videos, live shows, and other podcasts, please visit thetridentnetwork.com.
Oh my God. Julie, that was an amazing point. You're so smart.